Representative Kreis Tompkins, I wanted to ask you about the COVIDActNow.org website that you are involved with. I've taken a look at it. You're in a kind of a heady list of people who are involved. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I realize it's kind of a odd assemblage of people. It's a bunch of Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area tech people with various backgrounds, and then sort of a rando up in Alaska, so to speak. I knew one of these guys from years ago. I got involved in the Dean campaign as a 13-year-old, and he was a University of Illinois computer science student.
Is this Max Henderson you're referring to?
It's Zach Rosen, actually.
Okay.
We've stayed in touch the last 15 years, and he's since founded a Silicon Valley tech company that is probably going to have an IPO in a couple of years, and Zach's probably going to be a billionaire or a multi-hundred millionaire, very successful company, and it's doing well. But we've sort of stayed in touch on sort of all matter of things. And Zach, who knows Max Henderson, called me up 9 days ago now, basically saying, you know, there's this little group of us, three of us in the Bay Area who have looked at the numbers and the data on COVID, and we are fearful and very scared, and we want to do something about it. And we want to work with you to try to make something happen that can get this information out to the country, out to decision makers, out to the general public, which I think it's worth noting. When I sort of first started following COVID, I was a little bit less concerned. I was sort of in the, this looks bad, but like, you know, not the end of the world, maybe sort of the flu times two kind of thing. But my opinion definitely shifted as I learned more. And so, you know, the four of us teamed up and just went in an all-out sprint to try to put something together. And the team has since grown a lot, and the website, in the first 48 hours, there were 4.6 million unique views, 4.5 million of which were from the U.S. So I think that's something like 1.4% of the American population visited the site within the first couple of days that it launched. And it was trending on Twitter yesterday, and the Department of Defense has reached out about using the model and the data for their disaster planning efforts, and multiple governments, like Dallas, Texas, went to shelter in place, and in their press conference, the county leadership brought up the model to basically sort of illustrate their thinking and going that direction. Yeah, it's just been super crazy. Like TV interview in Atlanta yesterday, and spoke with the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and the website is just really blowing up. And our team, we're really focused on, I mean, first of all, refining the model and making the website better. And there's been a lot of changes just in the last couple of days, but also building new functionality and capacity on it. Because we definitely want to sort of get this information out so decision makers and the public can sort of understand the different paths that we can go down, and how early action shapes the future in terms of health outcomes. But there's going to be, you know, a lot more data that we want to synthesize and sort of get out there so that we can, as Americans, as Alaskans, have the most intelligent and data-informed response to this virus.
I think everybody by now has probably become familiar with the idea of flattening the curve and keeping the number of cases below the maximum capacities of hospitals. But is the main difference between the generally known curve and the curve that the COVID Act Now website describes, is that the social distancing alone does not get us below hospital capacity. Social distancing still puts the number of cases up over hospital capacity. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, you are. I mean, I think the sort of bottom line, you know, social distancing kind of being a proxy or sort of general description for sort of carrying on life as normal, but like just trying to stay away from the other people that you're in the same room or building with, kind of thing, doesn't cut it, because the virus is so incredibly infectious. It's just really important to not be around other people so that the virus has a 0% chance of transmission. And that's really sort of grounded or founded on data that we're gathering from other countries that have done that, and then sort of find themselves on their heels with skyrocketing infection rates and realize they have to go, you know, to a radical, you know, shelter in place or not even like shelter in place and not even go outside kinds of policies. That's definitely the takeaway from the model and the data that we've looked at.
And the upside, if upside is the right term, is that if you go to shelter in place within a certain window, the actual outbreak stays far below hospital capacity. And Sitka took action last Sunday. Sitka came out with a strong recommendation to shelter in place. I don't know if people have quite absorbed it yet or have really changed their habits too terribly much, but do you consider it a start?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think it's the responsible course of action. I mean, it's really necessary to buy time for a couple of reasons, to better understand the virus, to understand how it propagates, the patterns of disease. You know, every additional day, every additional week that the global medical community has to basically gather intelligence on this enemy that we're fighting puts us in a far better position. Second reason buying time is so important is it gives the medical research community in terms of drugs and pharmaceuticals time to understand what therapeutic drugs might be able to knock down the lethality, the virulence, the sort of evilness, as I put it, of the disease. And if there are drugs that can knock down the hospitalization rate of COVID by a third, or knock down the death rate of COVID by a third, that would be massive. And like, mind you, we're not talking about a vaccine, so it's not a silver bullet, and a vaccine is not going to happen anytime soon. COVID does kill people on its own, even with the best available medical care, but the real scenario we want to avoid is COVID being 3 to 5 times more deadly than it otherwise would be, because people whose lives would be saved if they had medical care can't receive medical care because there simply are not the doctors or the beds or the ventilators available that would otherwise save their life. And then those people would die when with medical attention they would live. And so that's the third reason why it's so important for us to buy time. So you know, shelter in place is really important. States across the country are rapidly issuing statewide orders. I suspect it's just going to be a matter of days before Alaska follows suit, even though that hasn't yet happened. So, you know, I think it's good for Sitka to be aggressive, conservative about this, because we need the time.
And is the decision in Alaska to, if it happens, to shelter in place statewide, is that decision, do you think, based on information in the model that you guys, you developed with this group of Bay Area techies, or would we have eventually gotten to shelter in place anyway?
I mean, to be totally candid in this conversation, I haven't detected an urgency within the Capitol building among my colleagues and staff about COVID that I certainly feel, and a lot of national and state experts who are on the front lines of COVID response are feeling. So, I mean, even as we continue to meet, it feels like a lot of unnecessary risk being taken in terms of the number of people in the building, including non-essential staff and personnel. My own office, we're all working fully remotely, so it's frustrating that the legislative institution is, I think, just sort of not doing nearly as much as we could to mitigate the risk. It's pretty weird because, you know, I'm advocating these really strict measures, and I think that's the best public health advice we have, and yet I'm sort of in a sardines can every day. and both on a, you know, personal level, because I'm a, you know, human being that can get infected just like anybody else, but also from a policymaking lens, it feels surreal.
Even the most citified legislator in Alaska probably spends a lot of time outdoors, and you always check the weather forecast. And I sort of see this as you look around the state, you look at the COVID maps and the patterns of transmission of the virus. And, you know, if you treat it as a weather map, you obviously think, well, the storm is going to hit here. It's just a matter of how hard. So I would expect that people would come around sooner or later, but who knows? In the meantime, in Sitka, our municipal government seems to be on board, and people generally seem to be doing their part to help try and contain this threat. Anyway, there's my soapbox for the morning. Thank you for indulging me.
Of course, Rob, and thank you for the amazing coverage on Raven Radio. It's just been awesome to follow, and I think really affirms the importance of institutions like this radio station.
All right. I've been speaking with Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins. Thanks again for joining me.
Thanks, Rob.
Take care.